I say my thing is I'm Jimmy Cheese Nuts. My nuts are the cheesiest. Those are my nuts. Welcome to Lava Boys Podcast.
Strengthening mind and body with salt and vinegar, Jimmy Cheese Nuts.
Strengthening mind and body with salt and vinegar. Oh, nailed it.
Jimmy, tell us about NutsFit. NutsFit? Tell us about NutsFit.
Yeah, so the workout just started with basically just wanting to do something consistently. It's not necessarily a hard workout. Now it's getting pretty tough and we're making it harder, but it started out just wanting to do something once a week, like a body tune up. And yeah. I'd never lifted weights. I've never been like a lifter guy. It was always just body weight and like pull ups and push ups and burpees. So I wanted to do like a body workout that I could just do once a week. And it was like half an hour, 45 minutes tops, but it was going to be hard enough to where you just didn't want to do it. You know, it was one of those, like, you know, it's going to suck. So that's the whole point, is you want to do something, force yourself to do it because you know it's going to suck. So every Tuesday night, I put the group text out. I say, hey, who's in? You never know who's going to show up. It's random. I've had like 20 people show up. I've had just be doing it by myself. I've done this workout for years now, every single Wednesday during vacation, sick, after vasectomy, after 100-mile run, every single, I just do it no matter what. And it's sometimes it's limited.
It's the same workout.
It's modified. So it's only gotten harder.
Yeah.
So 200 jumping jacks, 50 pull-ups, 100 burpees, 100 lunges, squat jump variations. Now we do 100 kettlebell swings. We added in, we have the 4-minute plank. So 1 minute each time of plank variation. And then we do a 1 mile run uphill, downhill from my house. So it's a quarter mile each time uphill, downhill. So now we incorporated the sandbag. So I do an 80-pound sandbag run and then I'll put the sandbag on and do lunges or anything like leg related sandbag or kettlebell. So it's light. It's like 25, 30-pound kettlebells, but you're holding the trick is to do the run. Don't put the kettlebell down. So you're holding the kettlebell. Then you go into your lunges, 25 of those at a time, each round. You're still holding the kettlebell. Then you do the swings. And then by the, 10 minutes of holding the damn kettlebell, you're just like, your whole body is just locking up.
Yeah. That's so good. But that's cool that you like text everybody, once a week and try to get it like a community thing.
Yeah. Oh man, it's so cool, man. It's in my garage. It's usually neighbors around me. And then now I got guys coming from the Pili, Kahana, like 15-minute drive away. So that means they got to wake up at 5, drive over, do the workout, then drive home, which is super inconvenient. And it's kind of like a CrossFit-y, I guess. I've never done CrossFit. But
it has that community aspect to it.
Well, now the thing is, because we've pushed it to the next level, we're going to do circuits so instead of just having it at my house, it's going to be like whoever's on the group text, we're going to have it at their house once a week. So it's like, what's your excuse? We're coming to your house next Wednesday. You ready to do the workout? Cause we're going to be there.
Oh yeah. And then when you do the 50 pull-ups, is it just 50 in a row? Like you're just only doing pull-ups till those are done.
So those are the totals. All those are the total.
Yeah, so you just got to work up to it, and you could take, I'm going to go do a couple burpees over here while I take a break from doing pull-ups.
Yeah. So I do it and I break it up into four. So four rounds. So I'll do 20, I'll load the pull-ups in the front. First round, 20 pull-ups. Then I'll do like 30 burpees and I'll kind of just front load the first couple rounds. So when I get to the last round, it feels really light because you're halfway through, you're dead. You're absolutely dead. You're just, I've never puked yet. So close to passing out, seeing stars. I've had at least 5 guys puke. And my number one rule is just don't puke on the driveway. That's all I ask. Whatever you do, don't puke on my driveway. Go into the bushes. Be respectful of the grass, whatever. Yeah. But it's just, I don't know. It's not about the workout. It's about the mental toughness. It's about the consistency. It's about the discipline. Like, who wants to wake up at 5 a.m. and do this kick you in the nuts workout once a week? Nobody wants to. Yeah. It sucks every time. 100 burpees, it sucks. 100 kettlebell swings, it sucks. Sandbag, everything sucks about it. Big time sucks. No one wants to do it, but that's why I want to do it. And it's just once a week.
I love it, dude.
That's cool. It's cool. But I definitely don't do it. I can't motivate myself to do that.
But you said your back is kind of messed up too, huh?
Yeah. But it's all good. That's another excuse, but I just can't swing it.
I had lower back problems, and the lifting weights helped. Like, same with you, Kimo. I never lifted weights in my whole life. You know, we always just surf, skate, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But the last 2 years I've been lifting weights, and because I got to a point where I couldn't even surf from my back, and doing like just slow movements like squats and stuff with the weights, and start real slow, building that muscle up, that stuff builds up, help my back, like help support it.
The core too is, core is huge, right?
Yeah. Well, like
that's why the
go ahead.
The kettlebell, like, dude, 10 pounds, a 10 pound kettlebell, and you're just holding it. You have all these muscles, the supported muscles, your core, everything fires by having a little bit of weight, and you're doing all this and your body's adjusting. Same thing, I have lower back problems, my neck, everything hurts, just life. I'm an operator, I'm a driver, surfing, all that. And it just, everything always hurts, but I found I'm getting stronger by working these supportive muscles and just a little bit of weight, man. And we just started this with the weights, I'd say 2 or 3 months ago, because I've always just been body weight.
Yeah.
But body weight, my body's already used to my body weight. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's using the same muscles. It's not engaging new muscles. And the ones I want is the supportive muscles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I found like I did all the ab workouts I could do, you know, sit ups, like Russian twists, side planks, like all kinds of stuff to just build core. The biggest difference I noticed was doing back squats, like just doing strict back squats. Was some of the biggest differences I felt in my core because it's supporting all that weight that's up high.
Yeah.
You can do those with the bag, right? With that 80 pound bag.
The sandbag is just, that thing will just crush your soul, basically. Mm-hmm. Every step you take, it just feels like your spine is compressing. And oh my gosh.
Kimo, do you think you want, I have a backpack that's made for hunting, it's like a frame. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like you strap all the meat onto it, you know, and guys use it for working out. Like they strap plates onto it or sandbags just to be able to hike that weight around. Cause I've seen you hiking with the sandbag and that's cool. Cause it's like miserable doing it. But do you think you want a backpack too?
I could try it. I like the sandbag because I can, it works different muscles. So sometimes I'll do the shoulder. And if you do the bear hug, the thing keeps slipping down. So you're constantly trying to like, you know, lift the thing up.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I got in the sandbag. So here's the story about that. There's rarely do I get scared about a workout, like something I'm about to do. I'm usually excited. I'm like, in my mind, I already take it there. I'm like, I'm going to crush it. I can envision it being done. I totally visualize it. No problem. So I'm doing this big run coming up December 17th. And the guy I'm running with is an ex-Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And he's just on another level, dude. Just so ridiculous. So he invites me to do these workouts because we all train separately. I have this running group. And then they had a running group. I do my stuff myself. So every Saturday they do these workouts and they're just ridiculous. Just stuff like that. Sandbag carries, 100 pound weight run, heel repeats, like running 200 meters, then doing 50 burpees and then just stupid stuff, like just retarded. So first time I'm scared, he's like, we're gonna do the sandbag run uphill. He's like, it's no big deal, there's like, you know, 5 or 6 guys, it's just we're just going up the hill. I'm like, sounds pretty minor. And then I see the route, it's from the bottom of Wailuku Heights, you know, the one at Foodland, Ola.
Yep.
Foodland, Wailuku Heights, up why would straight your head up that hill?
Yeah.
Dude, that is a demonic hill. It's so freaking steep.
It just keeps going too. Yeah.
You can't even like, you can't even run it without weight. And these guys are like, let's go from the bottom to the top. That's what we're doing. Bottom to the top. So it's a mile and a half, like 800 feet elevation and just carrying this heavy thing. So the first time I grabbed the bag, he gave me one before the workout, just so I have a feeling of it. I couldn't even lift it over my head. I had to like put it on the truck and kind of get under it and then like, you know, wiggle it around. I was too weak to lift it over my head because my I just don't have the arm strength.
Oh, it's so heavy. That, it's all like dead weight too, right?
Yeah. So this workout the night before, I was like legitimately kind of worried about it. I'm like, in my mind, I knew I was going to finish, but I was like, man, this is really going to crush me. So I was all nervous and stuff. And usually on these workouts, like I'm talkative. I'm always like saying something.
Yeah. Talking crap the whole time.
Crap. Yeah. That's or just best. Psyching myself out.
What are you doing, you know? Fat boy?
Yeah. Yeah. So we started this run and I'm just like silent. Like so quiet. Dude.
I would have loved to be there for that.
But what I realized is like you stuff like that. So I came in mid pack. I went to the top and I was so worried about this thing beating me. I was like, I'm not going to let the sandbag beat me. So I told the guys, I'm like, I'm going to walk this bag back down the hill until the last person makes it to the top. I'm not going to let this sandbag defeat me. Psyching, dude, just psyching out and just for real. Like I was like, man, I was so worried about it, but I didn't want to let that thing win. So I was the only one. I went up the hill and I walked all the way back down 3 miles by myself with a bag.
So and everybody else finished way before you?
They finished at the top. They only did a mile and a half.
Ah, got
it. I walked it all the way back down.
Do they just pick up the bags at the top with like a car?
Yeah.
So two cars.
Yeah, you have two cars and you have one with the truck. And so they all waited. But what's funny is I by the time I got almost to the end, like 2.5 miles down, the last guy came down. So they were ready to pick me up 2.5 miles down. And I was like, dude, I'm already there, bro. Like, keep going, bro.
Yeah.
I'm already there.
Hey, Kimo, tell us about like what mentally that kind of stuff does for you.
I think it's just a little bit at a time, dude. I mean, it's years of discipline and years of pushing yourself, just small incremental little steps. No one's going to be like David Goggins right off the bat. Oh, I'm going to go run on broken legs or whatever. It's just a little bit. Like the Nuts Fit workout, one workout a week, no matter what. It was a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes.
One of those, I think what Danny's asking is what do those things do for you mentally? Like I know obviously it's training wise, the training helps with your physical, but what about your mental?
Do things seem easier? Like, you know, in life, like you get busy with work or something, like some job, something's hard or dealing with somebody and you're just like, you know, this is easy compared to that sandbag.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, that's the same mentality as, when I first did a marathon. For me, I always downplay everything. I always make it sound like this is the easiest thing ever. The gnarliest thing in the world. I'm like, oh, that's minor. We can do it in faster time or whatever it is. So I always downplay it. And then I always compare. Like when I was the first time I was going to do a marathon, I was so worried about it. Me and my neighbor, and we're like, I don't know if we could, we've never even ran 10 miles before. How are we ever going to run 26? And then I'd start researching it. And I see these reports of like 80-year-old women crossing the finish line of marathons.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, you compare. Dude, you're like, so this lady can do it. And I'm like 30, whatever. And that means I can do it. Mm-hmm. So I use that, like the mental game is to make life easier for everything. Like
you
said,
Danny, I mean, I know you train a lot too. You use it in every day for your, what you do for work or you train, you guys both train a lot.
Yeah. The training for me started as kind of my back issues, but I just like pushing my body. I think I just like, it gives you that little bit of a high, that little bit of adrenaline that, you know, you seek for other things and it's just one of those things that you can get it out of yourself and get it out quick too. You know, like burpees or something, you just right now, you're like, you know what? I'm going to do 100 burpees and I'm not going to stop till I'm done. And that really only takes maybe 5 minutes or a little bit more than 5 minutes or something. But that is it, dude. You are smoked. And it's just like, just to push yourself to see if you can. But then other things seem easier. You know, some things seem impossible. And then you're like, you know what? It's not that impossible. You know, like that out. Yeah.
Totally.
I think, like we're talking about, so I invite everybody to Nuts Fit every week. It's a lifestyle is what it is, because there's so many people that they might want to, if it's not incorporated in how they live, about wanting to be healthy and strong and disciplined. Like you kind of have to have that lifestyle to do these kind of things. Cause you can't just jump in. You know what I mean? Like you have to choose to consistently do these things. And then to keep it sharp too, because man, no matter all the gnarliest things I've ever done, if I take a break and I'm like, I'm just going to cruise this month. You know, I did the, what did I do? Oh, I got COVID. So after COVID, I couldn't work out for like 3 weeks. I couldn't run. I was just tired, you know,
recovery. Did you do a marathon with COVID?
I did. So I finished it with COVID, but like recovering, I was so tired, you know, like, it just wouldn't go away. But so I took this 3 weeks off and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to cruise. I'm just going to do me. I could have ran. You know what I mean? I'm just going to relax, take it easy. Dude, coming back into it after 3 weeks was freaking hard, dude. It felt like I started training all over again because I was just off. It's a lifestyle. You have to be in it. You got to have that weekly drive, daily, whatever your regimen, you got to have it and be consistent or you'll lose it.
New guys or recruits or anybody, especially with like skills and stuff that are low frequency, high risk stuff like we do. Proficiency and excellence is rented. Like it's not, you don't buy that thing one time and that's it. Like if you want to have that in your toolbox, you got to pay for it every single day. And
Keep after it.
And it's 1% at a time, you know, like that's like my mantra is like 1%. Like today, I just want to be 1% better. And it seems like the smallest, little, tiniest, dumb amount of just some, oh, I learned this today. Oh, I thought about that today. But over the years, 1% of all that, it's compound interest. At the end of your career,
yeah,
like your 1% is paying off dividends big time, you know, like, and so that's
totally. I gotta take that mentality to my mustache like you guys 1% all have.
1% baby.
Just 1% better. If I could do that every day, boom. Mr. T.
I had the sick Mr. T for a while, but you know, he has the
gotta go higher.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was going to grow that for Halloween, but I was diving. It sucks diving with a mustache. You got to like Vaseline that baby up.
Oh yeah. So it gets in there.
Or chapstick.
That was a good conversation though. I like all of that. What all you guys had to say about it was pretty cool. I definitely Let's feel hear a difference.
About Boto. Like, Boto, we haven't heard your story yet.
Boto? Oh, well, with that, I started running again like 2 months ago and I just feel better. I'd normally go after I'm done with work instead of like before work. And I don't know, it's just something that clears my mind and I just get to run. I listen to podcasts. I listen to books. This is my time to just kind of zone out. And realistically, I don't run far or do like crazy workouts, but when I get back, even if it's like only a three mile run or something, I just feel way better. My whole body feels better. I feel better about myself. I feel better about what I'm doing tomorrow. And I sleep a lot better too.
Yeah.
Think that's a big deal. Like if all you're doing all day is sitting in an office, your job's not like really active all the time. For me, I get sleep apnea and like, or maybe that's not the right term, but I get anxiety and stuff at night because my body's just, so I found that working out even a little bit, I go home at night, I'm like tired. So I don't stay up and like think about, you know, every scenario in life. So it gets me to sleep.
Raising the belly of the beast. There were days where I barely had sleep. But I had to work more than competition. I can't live like the opposition. Living everything I dreamed of. Doing everything.
Otto's shocking news of the day. Doing
like a brain truck. So stupid.
It's so dumb. It's so epic.
Well, what I want to do today, what I want to do real quick, this way we can keep kind of a open discussion, but I want to get to Otto's shocking news of the day. we'll move on to some other stuff. So normally there's just,
he just wants to talk about Britney Spears. He's texted us like 10 times. I mean,
okay. Wait, let him read, like, the article. Dude,
why do we need,
let's hear the article. Britney, like, really? I don't even know what it's about, but let's hear about it.
Well, what I thought is the best, most shocking news of the day is that there's three dead and hundreds of injured people after storms arouse scorpions in Egypt. Like, this is a real deal. That's story. Nuts. So three people are dead and hundreds are injured after inclement weather aroused hordes of venomous scorpions out of their hiding places and into their streets and homes.
Wow.
Mental, that is, right?
Hey, that is some horror story stuff.
Dude, imagine if like it rains here all the time. Imagine if like scorpions just started attacking people.
Centipedes.
Yeah.
Centipedes coming out of the ground, out of their hiding place.
That'd be even worse than scorpions.
Where is that at?
Egypt.
Where is that article from? Just want
to. It's an NPR article.
Hey, yeah. Are they different type of scorpions than the ones we have in Hawaii? Are they like more poisonous or just?
Oh, yeah.
They said it was the Egyptian fat-tailed scorpion, a species found throughout northern Africa. In particular, has been described as one of the most deadly in the world. So, yeah, they have way worse scorpions.
You never watch the Scorpion King, bro.
That is nuts.
Anyways, I thought that was pretty shocking.
That's pretty crazy. Nuts. Yeah. I wonder if it was just rain or if it rains, the scorpions desert, come right? out.
Probably doesn't rain very often in the desert.
Oh yeah. So
like a massive rain.
For real.
Makes sense.
Nah, this guy. And then, you know, like, cause the desert, they get those big tarantulas at certain times of year. They're just covered.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like,
yeah, like, dude, like
scorpion. Have you guys ever been stung by a
scorpion?
Reanimated, before?
Like, hibernating scorpions or some crazy thing like that. Like,
yeah,
that'd be nuts.
I've been bit by a centipede.
I got stung by a scorpion.
You have?
I got stung by a scorpion in Thailand. That thing was nuts.
Where are we? On your butt?
I wish. The thing swelled up like huge immediately.
Was it shocking?
I almost went and caught another one.
It was 4 inches. You guys wouldn't believe it. It was huge. It was 4 inches.
That would be quadrupling. It's quadrupled in size. Yeah, it's my thumb. Nah, it was on my finger.
So where'd you get stung?
Oh. It was actually my index finger. Heavy. And like immediately, like, I mean, I was watching it just go like this. It was nuts. I was just like, oh.
Nuts. So I'll move us on to the next story because that one was shocking. This one's not as shocking, but it still is a pretty interesting story. So everybody knows who Britney Spears is. Everybody by now probably knows her story. Right. But she was like, she was under a conservatorship for basically her whole life. There are people that told her what to do.
Me?
Well, yeah. Conservatorship. Basically, like they made her seem like unwell psychologically. And so they had to have somebody take over her accounts. So people that ran her estate, ran her touring, ran everything. And then I guess it was her dad that took over like everything for her. So, you know, through her whole career, I think it was the past like 25 years. Oh, sorry. 13 years. Correct that. I'm kind of so like
was she,
glancing at the article.
Was she being years, drugged? They were just kind of let her. I could see that.
Yeah. She was being drugged like before shows and then after shows. And then they like told her what to do and what not to do. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. Now she's free though. And like, you'd think after 13 years of people doing everything for you, that might be kind of hard to like re-enter society. Like if I was her, I'd be like, what do I do?
You know? Yeah.
I don't know.
That's kind of tough. Like you would assume that she has all the money, right? But sometimes those cause problems. We know that. Like more money, more problems, right?
Take it easy.
Did you guys,
wow, that did you guys the, hear that was the whitest Joel, version Joel of Rogan? That phrase I've ever heard.
Dude.
More money.
Hey, more money.
You know, more money. If we have boys. More money, you'll have more problems.
Hey, Kimo, I did that Joel. One was Rogan. Money, dude.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Tell us a little bit about
mindset.
It.
So Kimo's going to tell you about it.
Yeah.
So Jewel, her whole story, she's from Alaska. She's got the most gnarly, rugged upbringing. Their family grew up on a homestead, I think, which is like some government-sponsored land these families can grow up on, and it's like sovereign, straight sovereign. Like live off the land, no electricity, no running water. Hawaii. They would just eat whatever.
Also known as Alaska.
It was in Alaska. It was a town.
Like everybody.
Her grandfather or somebody, whoever the founder, they just went into the middle of nowhere and built this town.
Yeah.
Like cut trees down. They're like, we're gonna make a town here, middle of nowhere. But her story is gnarly. But so her mom, kind of crazy. She stole something like $150 million or some crazy number. And Jewel didn't know about it. She had no idea the mom was like stealing money. And the way she made it sound was like the mom was not stealing it, but just using all the money and spending it on herself. But imagine that, someone you trusted. And it turns out the mom was some kind of psycho bipolar person and took all her money. So Jewel sold, I think it was like 10 million records a month or something like that. She, when her hit song came out, Who Can Save Your Soul, that album, mm-hmm. she did a deal, Ola, you'll know about this, where she never got the signing bonus. So she grew up poor. She was homeless. Mm-hmm. And the record companies got into a bidding war and were going to give her like $1 million signing bonus. And she turns it down. So she structured the contract to get the money on the back end. No money up front.
Wow.
And just took That's her time playing these albums. Dude. And then when she blew up, it was she said it was the highest back end deal that ever existed in music.
But so her mom was like siphoning the money off of, like, her mom had control of her accounts, and then her mom was spending money on all these different things that she didn't trace. There's a lot of stories about stuff like that. Like Selena, that happened with her. There's like a bunch of it happened. I mean, a local guy too, like a local surfing legend. I don't know if I should say his name, but
yeah.
Ray Harza.
Oh yeah. I know who you're talking about.
You know, something like that. He had like something like $400,000 stolen from him, from the manager. Like crazy stories that it happens more times than not. So I guess that's a good lesson, right? Make sure you always have really a lot of control of your books. Even if you have other people running them for you, always have that visibility.
I was away for a while. Were you telling your story, Kimo? Was that how that came up? Or
you're talking about Nuts Fit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a story similar to that where kind of losing almost everything. But good point about knowing or controlling the money, knowing where the money's at, you know, your bank account, your QuickBooks, all that stuff, keeping an eye on it. But the problem with that is that's two-sided. Like you can't just be super protective. Oh, no matter what happens, only I make the decision, because that's not how it works. Corporations exist when you trust people. People have to have access to the money. So at some point, if you're going to get big, you have to have an accountant. You have to have managers. Everyone has, if you want to grow and not be the one making all the decisions, you have to trust other people to make decisions for you, which that's what trust is, you know, but checks and balances for sure. But I'm still, whatever happened to me, like I got burned pretty bad, but I'm not going to
remember that.
I'm not going to never trust people. Like you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have, let people in.
I wonder what Brittany, because like Jewel has that mental toughness, right?
Totally.
I'm assuming that Britney Spears does not have this mental toughness.
Mickey Mouse Club is gnarly. So
maybe she does.
She came from the streets, bro.
Center for the real world for sure.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, but I'm assuming if I had to guess, she doesn't have this mental toughness. And then what about like, she's going to have these trust issues now too.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
That's probably the worst part. She has, like you said,
so she's kind of got an uphill.
The saddest part is probably whatever's been, you know, passed on to her kids and stuff. You know, it's gotta be hard on, you know, it just trickles down.
Especially with Kevin Federline as the dad.
How many kids does she have?
A bunch. I don't know. Like at least two.
Yeah, I'm not too sure.
More than one. But you know, that's who I always feel for.
No one really knows. I mean,
kids, because even my kids, you know, like,
yeah,
it's like you still got to deal with whatever issues that we're dealing with, even though if we deal with them in a good way, there's still some DNA programming that happened, you know, like all you can do is just try to minimize it and teach them a better way that, but you know, it's like they do deal with it whether we want them to or not, you know. It's pretty nuts.
Totally. So the last shocking news story of the day, after a 52-year chase, authorities ID the man behind an infamous Ohio bank heist. So 50 years ago, this guy, he worked at a bank, and he stashed $215,000 or around $1.7 million in 2021 dollars in a paper bag and just walked out the door. So the
how much in Bitcoin was that?
Yeah, how do we work that out?
Well, 50 years ago is probably like 1 million
in Bitcoin divided by 69,000.
50 years ago, yeah. Bitcoin was worth 0.00001 cent.
Okay, so he stashed his money in a paper bag.
He stashed the money in a paper bag on a Friday and walked out the door. So the bank wasn't aware of anything because he like closed the bank down. So Monday morning, they checked the vault and found the money gone. He obviously didn't show up to work on Monday, so he had like a 2-day head start on law enforcement. So he managed to avoid capture for 52 years, and they just found out who this guy was.
Dude, that's pretty amazing. No, but on another podcast, we got to touch on that guy they found in Kohala that was running for like 30 something years too. From that, he escaped that prison in Thailand. No, it was like, right, they're making a movie about it, and he lived in Kohala, and he was like helping build all this stuff up here and for the community. And
did we know who this guy was? Like,
yeah. No, he's been around town for like 15, 20 years.
No way.
Yeah. I got to find the info, but like, I mean, we all knew him, and like the Interpol came in freaking, like he was on Interpol's like list of like international wanted people.
Do you know what he was wanted?
He got involved with some kind of drug ring, but he wasn't like, he was like an investor in it, I guess. So that's how he got, like he had some money that he put into it, and then they got busted picking up the drugs overseas, and then he escaped a prison, and then like, they're like on him, there's a manhunt. I mean, I can't even make up the story as good as it was. But like he was living in Javi, down the road. Like
that's crazy. We have to look that one up and bring it up for the next episode.
You said he was helping people.
Yeah. No,
you think he said he's like helping.
He was like helping with a lot of the infrastructure for like the hub and stuff up here. Like
he was a modern day Robin of the Kohala.
All the people that were friends with him, that were like shocked when it came out, they're just like, there's no way, like this isn't the same guy, you know. But I think that kind of had something to do with it. Like he knew he was on the hook for this stuff, so he's trying to like be better for it, you know.
Yeah.
How do we feel
30 years later? That's pretty nuts.
If he has those people to back him, do we feel like he should be in jail? Or
I don't even know if he went to jail.
I feel like let him free.
I don't even remember how the story ended.
He broke out of jail.
He just went to Ocean View.
Puna.
Yeah, they made a move to Puna. I'm sorry, our Puna listeners, once again, that was just a joke.
It's not a joke. No joke.
It's not a joke.
It's not funny.
At least he can help build stuff down there.
That's a new inside joke, because I said that on accident on the last podcast, and like everybody's like, dude, they don't have internet in Puna.
Nobody listens to our show in Puna.
So this guy, the 52 years, he avoided capture, so they never got him. So Thomas Randell was in fact Conrad Randell. He lived in Linfield, Massachusetts, and had been living in a suburban neighborhood since the 1970s until he died of lung cancer in May at the age of 71. So guy just passed away. Pretty crazy. But they're saying that his heist was inspired by the Thomas Crown Affair. So there's a movie called The Thomas Crown Affair. And I guess this guy watched this movie like a dozen times before the robbery. But he said after watching the film, he told his friends that he believed it would be easy to rob a bank and that he planned to do so because he watched this movie so many times. None of his friends believed him, obviously, but he did it, pulled it off. He moved. He lived his whole life till 71. Got to spend that 215 grand. Pretty crazy.
I wonder if he like retired off it. Like he never worked another day in his life.
In Lidfield, Mass, maybe.
Doesn't sound like very much money.
He lives like a king on like 1500 a month, bro.
Yeah, back in the 60s, 70s, for sure.
That reminds me of another person in Kona. My sister paddled with her. No, for real. Her husband was a most wanted. He was on the most wanted list for like years. And then they just came and snatched him up one day. And she was married to him for like years and had no idea who he was, whatever. And like just living in Kona.
I wonder how many murderers and robbers are just cruising in Kona or like Big Island. It seems like all the weirdos over there.
There's like at least a couple hundred.
Spooky. Boorman's Stories from the Bush. So how about Boorman's Story from the Bush?
Stories from the Bush.
Stories from the Bush.
Let's see. Well, I did want to touch on that. When they invented that, or they, I guess, invented that plane, right? The Boeing 707. Did you guys see that video I sent you? I'll pull it up right here. Let's see. The guy's name was Tex Johnson, dude. How good is that? Not that good. That name is so good. The Boeing 707. They got this guy to test pilot this plane when they first built it, and he just takes off and does a big barrel roll with a commercial airliner. How good is that?
Did he pull it?
Pulled it, dude.
Oh my gosh!
Pulled it. Just a big barrel roll with this 707. And he's kind of a loose cannon, and that's probably why he got the job. Like, oh, let him test it, you know? Like, it's never flown before. Let text test it.
Get in there.
Yeah, and he's right, like, all right, you know? And I guess he did this big barrel roll, and everybody's just crapping their pants in the flight deck, I guess you'd call it, right? Or what's the...
The crew?
He was kind of a loose cannon, and I thought that was pretty funny. That he just pulled it, but I did want to touch. I'm like, wait, go ahead, Kimo.
Was there crew with him on board?
No. I don't even think there were seats. That would be sick, dude.
God, did he like drink yourself? Oh, what's going on?
If you did the roll, that right, your sick. Drink would stay in the cup. You'd just be upside down. Yeah,
with some speed. With some speed.
You ever see those Red Bull videos where they put the stuff on the airplane? The guy puts it in front of the camera and he's like doing rolls and stuff and keeping the stuff in the glass.
Oh, yeah. Keeping the stuff in the... Yeah,
that's pretty that cool.
That's cool.
That is so crazy.
Raising the belly of the beast. There were days where I barely had sleep, but I had to work more than competition. I can't live like the opposition. Living everything I dreamed of. Doing everything you think of. The way I work, I'm on the brink of. Doing numbers like a brain truck.
We'll see you next week on Lava Boys Podcast.